I hope you've had a great day, and I hope that you are wanting to go in a different direction with me, and that's not it. Yeah, but we'll get there. Great to see you. We still have lots of guests, and I am hoping that your night will be great. I'm hoping that Christmas is a great time for you. If some of you are not through yet, I'm sure Walmart will be open for a little while. I was there yesterday, and I noticed a line of traffic this way from one entrance to the other, and a line of traffic going this way from one entrance to the other. And as I walked up to go in, there were four cars in a row. This is the truth. Had their elbow on the windowsill and their head in their hand like this, and they were just talking. No, they weren't talking. They were just ready to go, I think. And just as about the time I got to the door, somebody started honking their horn really loud and long, wanting that line to move. Now, does anybody in the room have a horn tonight? I'm pretty sure that somebody would probably be like those people. If you have family get-togethers and all of that thing, I'm hoping you do. But hold the horn, if you will. That'll help me a lot get through with this. And maybe I won't forget some of the things that I want to say. Looking back, boy, that's exactly what Moses was trying to get God's people to do. They had almost gotten to the promised land. And Moses was rehearsing some things with them, and he was asking them to look back, to think. Twice in this chapter, he uses the term remember. And three times, at least, he uses the phrase do not forget. He's really interested in them thinking about where they are, who they are, where they've been, what has happened to them, and why it has happened to them. So we want to take a look at just a few passages, really. In chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, Billy read for us a while ago. It's a great reading. I encourage you to read that whole chapter again and again and think about what it means to you. And I'm hoping that's what we do tonight, is think about what this means to us. You shall eat and be full. How about you? Do you think that'll happen to you, either has happened today or will happen tomorrow? You're going to eat and be full and bless the Lord for the good land that He has given you. Well, we have so many wonderful things that God has given us. Give thanks to the Lord for what He's done. Then He says, take care lest you forget the Lord by not keeping His commandments and His rules and His statutes, which I command you. So, as we look at a passage or two, we're looking and thinking about remembering and not forgetting. How many of you remember everything that you got? Raise your hand. I really want you right here in this group. Raise your hand if you remember everything you got for Christmas last year. Everything. Oh, I don't remember what I got for Christmas last year. Two out of this group raise their hand, I might add. Now, I don't even need to ask people my age how many. We'd have a bunch of hands. They'd have a bunch of hands up. Remember what God has given you. Because that's where every good and every perfect gift comes from. Now, Barna has done a lot of research, this group that just researches thing after thing after thing about religion. Here is what we would look like in this room if we were average Americans. Over half of us would pray to God daily. That means almost half would not. 23% of us, one out of every four, would admit that we never or we seldom pray to God. Just over half of the people in this room who make over $50,000 a year, and if you have a husband and a wife working, and many of you do, and you add those together, it's quite likely in our culture you're going to be making $50,000 and over. And if you're in that group, they admit that they never or seldom pray to God. So I want you to think about that, and then remember what that passage says. When you get full and you get satisfied, and he's going to say it again, when we get what we want, when we feel good about things, We forget where all of that came from, and we don't give God the praise and the glory that we do. 65% of us with some form of higher education, and there's a lot of us in this room who are college age who have some form of higher education. We admit, 65 of us admit that we seldom or never pray to God. The average Christian, do we have any average Christians in here? We hope not. We hope we are all wanting to be excellent in the things that God wants us to do, and we're striving to be what God really wants us to be. The average Christian spends only 1 minute a day in prayer to God. And then just over half of Americans only read about our God 4 times a year. Can't be an average group we have in this room. But if we're average, that's what it looks like. Now, there are a few things that Moses asked these people. First of all, he says, do you remember what he delivered you from? Do you remember where you were? Kind of hard for us to remember where we were, because last year at Christmas time, I was also fat and sassy, just like I am right now. So what's the big deal? What's the change? What did God deliver me from last Christmas to now? Boy, he's delivered me from a lot. I think one of the things we're going to be really surprised at when we stand before God and he opens our eyes to his will is just how much watch care God had over us. Where he has helped us. We must believe that he does, or we wouldn't be praying for it. We must think that God has some degree of control over this world and some degree of work in our lives that helps us from day to day. So what has God delivered Roy Sharp from since last Christmas? So far as I know, I'm standing before you very healthy, and I am grateful to God. I give thanks to God every day for the physical health that he has given me. And I am thankful for that. He's delivered me from any serious illness. I haven't had one accident since last Christmas. He's delivered me from every accident that could have occurred. And believe me, if you were around me, there would be many of those. I'm so impulsive. I turn and bump into stuff. There are so many things that I do. God has delivered me from any serious accident. I could go on and on and on. But what has God delivered you from? You're all alive here tonight. God has spared your life. Look at verse 14. Then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You were slaves. Almost 40 years ago, Moses could say, you folks that can remember, and remember what your parents told you. Remember what your grandparents told you. He delivered you out of slavery. But verse 6 says, but when they had grazed, they became full, and they were filled, and their heart was lifted up. Look at that last phrase. Therefore, they forgot about me. I've stayed full the whole year. It's been a long time since I've said, I think I'm going to starve to death. I remember when I was a kid, I would think I was going to starve to death. My mom would say, get out of the kitchen and wait until supper time. Oh, Mom, I'm going to starve to death. It's been a long time since I've said, I think I'm going to starve to death. Because when Jan is looking that way, I go over here and get something. I eat, I snack, I eat well, I am blessed unthinkably. And so I can think about having grazed and being full. And I hope that I am better than those people were, because you see, when they got full, they forgot about God and their heart was lifted up. They were full of pride. Here's what they forgot. They forgot about bondage. We forgot about how hard it was, how their parents had told them about having to go gather straw to make bricks, how that they were oppressed and punished and they still had to make a certain number of bricks. They forgot about the depression that they experienced because of the difficulty and the lack of hope and the constant pressure and work that they were under. They forgot about the hopeless relationship that it seems like they had with this land of Egypt who just constantly oppressed them. They forgot about the rebellious mind that they had not only in Egypt, but when God led them out, they began to rebel almost immediately. And I don't want any of you telling me about my pride. Because you see, when I get lifted up, I think I am the one that provided all those snacks and all of those great meals and all those things that I've grazed on and that I've gotten fat with and all the things that I earned and I deserve. I let pride lift myself up and I think I am the one. And God says that's exactly what these people did. They started thinking they were responsible for what God had blessed them with. And you see, ultimately, what they forgot God. Secondly, he raises this question. Do you remember what he brought you through? You shall remember the whole way your God has led you these 40 years that he might humble you, testing you to know whether or not you would keep his commandments. He humbled you and he let you hunger. He fed you with manna that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. What did God lead you through this year? Well, here's what these folks went through. I don't remember any fiery serpents and scorpions. I don't remember being hungry and not able to have any food. I don't remember being thirsty and not being able to get something to drink. I don't remember me personally being involved in war. I don't know what that's like. I don't want to know what any of that is like. But God had led these people through all of those things. When we read the story of the Exodus and then the journey through those 40 years to the promised land, in a land parched because of no water, God gave them so many blessings. He fed them. He took care of them. He gave them victory. They went through so many things. And then the third thing, do you remember how he kept you? How's God kept you this year? Well, we are a blessed group of people. As a congregation, it would stun us to know the total worth of all the possessions this congregation has available. It would stun any one of us if we knew all the physical blessings combined this congregation has. God has kept us. He is keeping us. He tells them, your clothing didn't wear out. Your foot did not swell these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, the Lord your God disciplines you. God has kept you. I remember our children were like yours. If I left a screwdriver laying around, one of them would pick it up and they'd be looking for an electrical outlet to go stick that screwdriver into. You didn't say, listen, that's no big deal. Go ahead and shove that thing in there. It's not a real big deal. You discipline them. You keep them from harm. You help them. God has done that for us in so many ways. He provided that food, that water. He provided help for them. As we think about this blessing, we raise the question, do you remember how good he is to you tonight? You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day.
I don't think any one of you would accuse me of being an English teacher, but we do understand present tense. God is giving us what we have today. Well, what'd you get for Christmas? Well, Mom gave me, Dad gave me. Are you thinking at all about what God is giving you this day? God is about to, at the end of this 40 years, He's about to give them, this text says, a land of brooks. There's going to be a lot of water. There are going to be fountains. There are going to be springs. You're going to grow wheat. You're going to grow barley. You're going to have vines that produce grapes. You're going to have fig trees. You're going to have pomegranates. You're going to have olive oil. You're going to have honey. And look at that last statement. You will not lack anything. God is going to provide. Now, you remember what God has done for you? Well, you're a child of God. If you've repented of your sins at one point, and you said, I want to be like the Christ. I want to be holy. I want to be blameless. I want to be clean. You said, I want to turn away from my sins, and I am willing to be buried with Christ in order to achieve that. And you have. You didn't just believe that you should. You decided that you would. And you have been baptized into Christ. This is what God has done for you as you look back. He's redeemed you. It's not that He will redeem you when He comes back. He has redeemed you. You don't have to worry about that anymore. If you want to listen to what God says and you are ready to continue to be a part of His family, He has, past tense, He has saved you. He has provided for you. Now you can put that in the present tense as well. He is providing for you. And for whatever amount of life God gives to you from this point forward, He is going to provide for you. He has given you life. Physical life. If you've been born into His family, spiritual life. Tonight, you and I remember Him as our God. What a great chapter to help us think about the blessings that we have. And at the end of this year, as we look back, read this chapter again. Look at these great questions and look at the responses God gives to us by inspiration. As we close tonight, I want to encourage anyone in this room who's never been born into the family of God to reflect on the fact that you are only here with this opportunity to obey because God has provided this opportunity for you. If you're a child of God and you have gone astray and you're not faithful to God, you are only sitting here alive tonight, and God has provided this opportunity for you. One of the things that we do is we extend the Lord's invitation for you to obey if you need to. And that's our hope and that's our goal for every person in this room to recognize today God as God in our lives. We can't do that if we choose disobedience. So if you need to obey in a public way tonight, that's our hope. That's our prayer. Please do as we stand and as we sing.